You've heard the word of the Lord from Isaiah 55, 6 to 9. We'll read again, interspersed in the sermon. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Have you had this happen to you, dear friends? As we consider in the name of Jesus Christ, our captain, the Word of God incarnate, words are just all part of our human experience. And every once in a while, you'll have somebody say to you, "Don't get me started." And then they launch into whatever it is they weren't going to get started on. Or, "I don't want to talk about it." Brace yourself. They're about to talk about it. Or that one, "To make a long story short." Really? We need to talk about things. It's just the way God made us, communicating. But it's been hard, as you all know, especially during these months of COVID. It's been hard for shut-ins, for shutdowns. It's been hard for quarantine. It's been hard for us as a congregation, too. We've tried in different ways with volunteers to contact our members, but this week we're starting a real concentrated effort that we're calling Caring Connection, where the pastors and the elders and the church family leaders, maybe volunteers from the church families, will just call and offer a conversation, not necessarily making a connection, but with a voicemail, so that people can call back if they want to talk. It's a way that we can show Christ's love to each other. And I pray that God will richly bless it so that maybe you do need to talk. Maybe you need a conversation. But then again, there are some times when the news is so shocking, so crushing, that you just don't want to talk about it, whatever it may be. In fact, sometimes it can be so hard, you don't even know how to pray to God. Because it all so often comes down to one word, right? Why? And if it's not one word, it's just two. Why me? This book of books we call the Bible is just filled with conversations. Conversing with God, that's the book of Psalms. But really, what this is God's conversation with us. Whatever we can say in prayer is just our part of the conversation which God started. So today, the dear Holy Spirit comes to us again and says, turn to the Lord, and turn from these low thoughts, really low thoughts, to be constantly asking why. It's surprising how rarely in 66 chapters the prophet Isaiah asks why. It's usually God asking his people why they're doing what they're doing or explaining this is why. But even where Isaiah is commissioned back in chapter 6, I'm surprised at his question and his response. The Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Remember that? "Here am I, send me," volunteers. And then the Lord's strange message. "Go. You are to tell this people, keep listening, but you will never understand. Keep looking, but you will never get it. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears deaf and blind their eyes, so that they do not see with their eyes or hear with their ears or understand with their hearts and turn again and be healed." Not why. Isaiah asks, "Lord, how long?" This is equally as strange to us. "Until the cities are a wasteland without a single inhabitant, until the houses are totally deserted and the farmland is completely devastated, until the Lord has removed the people far away and the abandoned places within the land are many. From bad to worse to exile. And no question, why? From Isaiah, not here. He knows the situation that goes all the way back with God's people, the Israelites, to the time of the last judge, Samuel, a priest, who must have been feeling very rejected in 1 Samuel chapter 8, because the people have been asking for a king, and the people are rejecting him and his family. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people regarding everything they have said to you, because it is not you whom they have rejected. I am the one they have rejected as king over them." And then the Lord says, "This has been going on since they came out of Egypt. They have forsaken me, served other gods, and now they're also acting the same way toward you. So now, listen to them. Nevertheless, warn them strongly and show them what the king who reigns over them will do." He must have wondered, because the king over them, as Samuel is told by God to tell them, is going to raise their taxes, make their life miserable, taking their children into his armies and into his service. The Lord's just giving them what they want. And God's people just scratch their head and say, "How?" Well, Romans chapter 1, you read that now, and the Holy Spirit says really the same thing. The Lord just keeps giving people over to what they want, into more and more sin, because they're stubborn, they're rebellious. Sometimes even told the Israelites through the prophets, "See what it's like to serve those false gods instead of serving me." Sin hurts. Sometimes we just need to feel how much it hurts. And I read Romans 1 and I just say, "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us all." Someone might be listening to this and say, "What do all these old people have to do with me? Stop this church talk. Don't get me started on politics, huh?" Why me? I'm hurting. Why me? Well, that's actually the oldest book of the Bible. Let's go back to the Word of God again. A man who, by God's decree and his evaluation, is blameless and upright, a man who feared God and turned away from evil. Job. My third grade son said, "It's just one long argument. Three friends keep on coming, one bowed after another. You must have sinned really bad because you're suffering really bad, and therefore..." And Job is holding on to his righteousness, and he keeps asking God, "Why me?" He's really demanding an answer. And you know, if you've read it and then read it again a few times, it all comes down to one word at the end for Job. As for Isaiah, as for Samuel, as for us, Job had to repent. But when you listen to the way God calls in this text from Isaiah, listen to who he's calling and what he's calling them to. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked man abandon his way. Let an evil man abandon his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will show him mercy. Let him turn to our God because he will abundantly pardon." Calling the wicked, the evil, to mercy and abundant pardon. Is there room for you and me? Oh yes. And for David, and for Saul, Paul, for us all. You know, it's good to be listening. And it's good to be able to say things like, "Talent on loan from God." That acknowledges where it all comes from and where we will all stand someday before the judgment seat of God. Are we not receiving lessons in our country this day that no matter how influential or powerful or strong we may feel or appear, no one is above cancer or COVID? And the Holy Spirit tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 32, that God has leveled the playing field. He has put us all alike under sin so that God may have mercy on us all. These low thoughts about all that's happening now, when you study history, you realize that everybody's had these as far back as you can go. You can go back to the elections in Greece. It all goes on and on. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord from low thoughts that have nothing to do with anything except this earth. Because there was one who said, "Why me?" And he asked the question in total righteousness. There were two criminals on either side of him, and one of them said, "We're getting what we deserve, but not him." And those precious words recorded for us go back 1,000 years before in Psalm 22. Our Lord Jesus, our precious Savior, cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why me?" And you know, it was for you and for me and for all that he was forsaken so that we would never have to be. But I love the way Psalm 22 ends, because it's all about Christ hanging on the cross and what he's seeing as he looks out there. The last three verses of Psalm 22. "All the rich of the earth will eat and bow down. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, descendants will serve him. For generations, people will be told about the Lord. They will come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet to be born, because he has done it, and it is finished." When you feel yourself like a ping pong ball somewhere between despair and self-righteousness, how our emotions can play tricks on us, and sometimes our feelings just have to catch up with our faith. But you can sometimes feel like God can't forgive you, he can't love you. Recognize, even in despair, is human arrogance and pride. As if your sin is so terrible that the blood of God's own Son can't wash it away. Think about that. Oh no, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He doesn't call the righteous. They don't think they need repentance. He's calling the wicked and the evil to full and free pardon. Turn to the Lord from low thoughts to high plans. "Certainly my plans are not your plans. Your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my plans are higher than your plans." That's why we can't always figure out why. Because he's God, and we're not. But he's merciful, he's gracious, he's kind. And the cross is proof that cannot be argued away. It's just good for us to quietly step back and listen at times. So much can be learned from listening respectfully. Years ago, one of the sisters in our congregation told me about the wife of a gubernatorial candidate running for governor who really was pushing the buttons of all the female news reporters. She would say things publicly on camera like, "My husband is my head and I like it." Former feminist, openly repentant of her pro-abortion views. Marrying a candidate who, when his first wife died in a car accident carrying their child, made sure there were two caskets at the funeral, one for his first wife and one for their baby. And she's marrying this man, and she's got stories to tell. She was kind enough to return my call to campaign headquarters. You talk, I'll type, it's for my sermon. Why or what caused you to want to become a Christian? It wasn't just one event, she shared. But I do remember going into a store to buy myself a birthday present. And then she paused to let that sink in. I didn't realize I was in a Christian store until I got home with my CD and listened. The Christian music touched my heart like nothing else ever had. And I realized the window to my heart was open, but it could close again any time. And then I met my husband, and he taught me more about Jesus' love for me and his power and his strength. She started off the conversation saying, I was just getting more and more disappointed how my feminist sisters and I, for all of our talk, were not so strong. We could be so easily manipulated. And then Jesus found her. Awesome wonder to turn to the Lord and to hear it from others who remember what it was like without that faith in him. There was a Christian pastor centuries ago who commented, the Lord comes to your door. Think not you will find the Lord when he has once gone, though you traverse the world. While he is near, you may seek and find. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. If through your neglect he pass by, all seeking then will be in vain. For more than 20 years in my cloister, I experienced the meaning of such disappointment. I sought God with great toil and with severe mortification of the body, fasting, watching, singing, and praying. In this I shamefully wasted my time and found not the Lord. The more I sought and the nearer I thought I was to him, the farther away I got. No, God does not permit us to find him so. He must first come and seek us where we are. We may not pursue and overtake him. This is not his will. But if you're hearing these words today, then God has been pursuing you. And that window to your heart is open to turn to the Lord from low thoughts to high plans that he has for us who hear him call and trust his word. It seems to me that coming out of COVID is going to be much more difficult for many people than it was going into it. That was a sudden government decree to just shut down. Like it or not, pretty much everybody did. Coming out, there are personal, professional, family decisions to make about gatherings that we've been missing for a long time. Do the statistics say that the virus is on the wane? Who do you believe? What's safe? This is safe. Turn to the Lord, and he will freely pardon. Turn to the Lord, our Lord Jesus, who in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, gives this generous offer. Look, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in with him and dine with him, and he with me. Open the door to mercy. Amen.